Welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal, and today I have such a big treat for you all. So I decided that I needed to interview Rebecca Garofo about, I'd say 5 minutes into the first time I started listening to her podcast, which is called Empath's Alchemy. And guys, like, I listen to a lot of shit out there, right? Like, pretty much any spiritual podcast there is, I've probably listened to it, you know, whether it's about witchcraft, astrology, tarot, meditation, Reiki, anything that has anything to do with spirituality, like, I'm there, right? I'm in it. I'm listening to it. And I'm not just saying this, but I don't think I've ever vibed so much with a podcaster as I do with Becca and her podcast called Empath's Alchemy. And the reason I love her and what she has to say so much is that she comes at spirituality from such an honest and human and no bullshit kind of place. And I respect so deeply just how honest she is able to be and how willing she is to state her opinion and share her mistakes along the way. And she's also really willing to call the spirituality community out on their bullshit too, which I'm always down for, right? And she's just so willing to walk her path and share her journey. And I just love her for that. So I knew I had to interview her. So after we decided that, after she said yes to be on my little podcast, I sent her the questions and I also read her memoir. So she actually wrote a book called Too Sensitive, An Empath Story. And guys, that book is so raw. It's so real. It's so relatable, especially if you identify as an empath. And not only is it relatable, but it was triggering. And at the same time, it was soft. And it's so honest and truthful. And it's the true story of Becca telling her life's journey about, you know, growing up as an empath and being called too sensitive and all the implications that come with that label. And she shares in a really raw way how she faces her traumas as she grows up and all of the terrifying and beautiful moments that she experienced with her deep, deep sensitivity. So it was an amazing book, and I knew I had to talk to her a little bit about that too. So Becca herself, she's not only an author and a podcaster, but she's also a massage therapist and a body worker. And she actually spent years as a teaching assistant at the Lomi Lomi Hawaiian Shamanism and Bodywork Center. So that's where she did the majority of her training and her teaching. Rebecca is also certified in Reiki, and she also has her doctorate of philosophy in humanistic science, specializing in metaphysical spiritual counseling. So she's done quite a lot with studying bodywork, spirituality, shamanism, and of course, she's the author, like I said, of Too Sensitive, An Empath Story, and that book came out just last year. And right now, she's currently providing private counseling and distance healing sessions. She's recording her podcast and the audio version of her book, Too Sensitive. And she's also creating an at-home program for her next book's outline. So she's a busy girl, and I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to talk to her. In this episode, I won't give too much away, but we had such a good discussion about what it's like to be labeled as that too sensitive kid that I have a feeling a lot of us were labeled as, because, you know, as little empaths, we just were kind of branded as that too sensitive kind of person. And we talked about labeling and mentors, spiritual mentors. We talked about relationships, and we also talked about parents too, and just all of these things that we can experience in our 20s. And Rebecca gave us sort of her best advice about how to get through the 20s in the most productive way, but all the while be willing to sort of make mistakes on your path, because you will. You're going to fuck up, right? There's no way to get around that. But yeah, it was a good conversation. I won't give too much away, but enjoy this interview. I'll leave all of Rebecca's information below. So if you want to check out her podcast, I highly recommend it. It's all in the show notes. And I will talk to you guys next time. Enjoy this interview.
Hey, now.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited, too. I can't believe we're talking right now, but I
woke up.
I woke up this morning with just, like, a really good feeling because I felt like, you know, I could feel our energy starting to connect, and
yeah.
I just love it. Yeah.
I love it. And this is so, like, what a cool app. Like,
yeah.
I never even heard of Anchor until, like, the last couple months, because I'd hear it, you know, at the end of some podcast, and so I was like, oh, this is really cool. That makes it so simple.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I love it. Hashtag not sponsored, but if if Anchor wants to sponsor me, they can call me.
Exactly. You're like, you just find me. That's all I need.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to the Horoscope Witch podcast.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited too.
Well, you know what? Even though we'll talk more about what you do, but even though your main claim to fame is not astrology, why don't you introduce yourself through your sun, moon, and rising sign and give us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this is perfect timing because now I actually know, like, just enough to be dangerous about it, right? Because it's so easy to just, like, Google stuff. But now I know that my sun sign is a Leo, and
okay.
Then I'm an Aries rising, and then I'm a Virgo moon.
Oh, wow. See, okay, I like that mix because it really seems like you, because you bring a very fiery presence into this world, yet you have a very analytical mind and analytical way of thinking about things.
Right.
Yeah. And that Virgo moon is like that healer in you too.
And it's so, like, it blows my mind when we see, and I'm sure you see this, like, constantly, you know, with what you do. And it's like, when I realize the relationship I have, and my husband is a Virgo, that's his sun sign.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like he can look right at me and see what's going on, like, underneath the surface.
Right.
And just really in a just calm, calculated way, be like, this is what I'm seeing. What's up?
Mm.
And it kind of draws me out of that fire so I can cool down enough to be like, okay, yeah, maybe I needed to cry for a second. Like, maybe you're right.
No, wait, I love that combo. And you know what? Just one more thing. We're not going to spend too much time on astrology, but with what I'm learning about, like, synastry charts, like a chart between, like, two people, like a couple,
right.
Some of the best matches are if you find, like, if your moon sign is Virgo, you should look for a sun sign in a partner that's Virgo, because that means that person is going to meet you on a deeper emotional level, or, like, get you on an emotional level. So I like that you just said that.
So my jaw is, like, in my lap. I'm like, that is so cool.
Yeah. No, it totally makes sense. But okay, well, why don't you, Rebecca, you know, I introduced you on, like, a separate recording and everything, so the listeners already kind of know who you are, but why don't you give us a little bit about, like, your spiritual journey, especially when you were younger and kind of coming into your 20s? How did you like get started, and when did you realize? I know your book is titled Too Sensitive. So I guess, when did you realize that too sensitive actually meant something greater, if that makes sense?
That, I really like how you put that.
Yeah.
Actually. I'm like, I love that, because I think we're so used to it coming off as weak.
Oh my God, yeah.
Right? So it can make us kind of run from it at first because we're like, no, I don't want, like it's a medical diagnosis and we kind of don't.
Like, I'm an empath. It's a disease. Like, no.
We're like, I don't want to take supplements for this. I don't want to live in a shell. Like, this is not cool.
Right.
I'm excited that you read my book because, like, energetically, it already feels like, okay, so we've kind of already met. So you kind of already, you kind of.
Yes, I did read your book. I'm like, I love a good memoir about a spiritual journey, so it gave me a little bit more about like how you just like in your book you talk so much about your childhood and how like actually the trauma and the anxiety of what young empaths often go through and almost like the recipe of like, how is an empath created? Well, an empath is created because usually of trauma in the childhood, too.
Right.
So, So, as a kid, you just kind of felt like too sensitive was a curse almost.
It's so, I know, like, as empaths, so many of us, there's always that, like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, did trauma, like, create us? And I think, in a way, it is like someone chiseling away at a sculpture. 'Cause you know how some of the most beautiful, it still blows my mind when you see, like, a marble sculpture that looks like silk. Say, like, it was already in the stone. I just had to kind of release it. And I think that's what trauma does to us. And it doesn't even have to be big trauma because as empaths, we feel things on such a cellular level. It's like from being a toddler, you know, we can see where certain things started to chisel at us and we feel how we react and then we witness how people around us react. And often it doesn't match. Where you're like, something's off. And that's probably, we could all probably wear t-shirts that say something's off. Like all of us, right? Because so many times in life we're like, I don't know what it is, but something's off. And so I think, like, for me, it was that, like, constant unveiling of, like, what's wrong with me? And then I think in my 20s, I went through that teen angst of it, of being like, well, I'm sucked up and I'm just gonna own it. Like, so I'm just gonna drop out of school and do, like, everything wrong and own that I'm fucked up. Like, that was kind of how I dealt with it. And then in my 20s, it kind of started being more of that, like, okay, like, I need to get my shit together, but, like, I still don't fit. I don't understand. And it can become that, like, outspokenness, right? Where you're starting to step into who you are, but you're still wobbling a little bit. And I feel like it's almost like we energetically put out, like, wet floor signs when we're stepping into ourselves. We don't mean to be brash and, like, be in defense mode, but part of us is like, just don't push me. I'm figuring it out.
Oh
You
my God, right? Yeah, exactly. It's
And I think, like, it's totally, I just want to, like, put this out there, like, be in that place and be okay with it. Like, when you're at that age of having those wet floor signs out, like, put them out. It's cool because I think that's part of the process. Like, change is sloppy and growth is sloppy. And I think too many times in, like, the spiritual community, it's like, okay, but if you're doing it like this, it's wrong. And if you're doing it like this, but honestly, we're human and it, like, change doesn't happen overnight. And so we're going to wobble.
Oh
And that's
yeah.
like,
Yeah, that's like oh yeah, people I think especially in your 20s when you start like you said you start to like kind of make the transition of like that angsty teenager who's just like I'm fucked up and then like transitioning into the 20s and still having that piece of like well I'm fucked up but then with the wet floor signs, like, how do I deal with it now? How do I take responsibility? And I actually think that might be like the tipping point of anybody's quote unquote spiritual awakening or like quote unquote that dark night of the soul.
because it is that point where you're, like, witnessing now more how you're interacting with the world. You're supposed to be, like, you know, hashtag adulting coming up real soon. And so you have
Right.
that feeling of, okay, I have to figure out who I am. Like, time's running out. So yeah, it's such a, It's such a fun time and it's such a hot mess of a time.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Can you you know, in since yeah, I read cards, right? I'm a professional card reader, and there is a card in the tarot called the Tower. And the Tower is sort of like this moment of like massive shift in your life. And honestly, the Tower came up for me as I was sort of realizing that I needed to go on a spiritual journey. So was there a moment in like your maybe early 20s where there was a tower moment for you where you're like, oh my God, like I gotta do something, like I gotta go. I don't know if that's when you decided to go to the massage school, or maybe that was more when you studied with mentors. Tell us more about any kind of moment like that.
Yeah, it was kind of, I'm like thinking about it and I'm like, I feel like the tower card came up for me like every week.
Yeah.
You know how
Same.
it's like, you know what you need to let go of, and you're like, okay, but I just don't want to do that right now. Like, I'm just not ready to do that. And I know when I was working at the coffee shop, and like, it just, I mean, I would have slept there overnight if I could. Like, I loved it so much. I loved people coming down in their jammies in the morning. And like, I knew exactly what they wanted, and I could just kind of sit there and hear about their life constantly. But it was like, I think that opened me up just enough to be like, so what's going on here? Like, you really like doing this? What do you want to do with your life? And it's kind of like, you know, on one side, sometimes I think when we have that tower moment come in, you see where you've built your life up until that point, relationships and your jobs and everything, and then you see who you are. And then when you see they might not quite match, I think that's when that like wrecking ball comes swinging through, and you're like, oh no, how am I supposed to, like, how am I supposed to drink Aristocrat all night but do a spiritual awakening? Like, I don't understand.
No, totally. Yeah, it's totally true. So was there, once you had that moment, was there a call to action? Like you need to do something, like you need to learn something. like I know you've moved around a lot too.
Yeah, because I ran a lot. I'm a big runner. And so
Right.
I think, as weird as it may sound, like my call to action was to stop running, to like stop having so much action. Because I think so many of us are tricked into thinking that the spiritual path is like running a marathon when it's not. And I was like, I mean, traveling constantly and doing classes, and I was teaching with this woman, and I was supposed to go on, you know, this trail and da 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 da. I can't even think of it. The El Camino. After I was supposed to go teach in France, and then I was going to go on the El Camino, and like had all my tickets done and everything. And like it, when I finally started to realize, like, oh, like physical travel and classes, you can do all that mess and absolutely heal nothing. Deeper because you're thickening the facade of the quote unquote like doing the work, right? And so like my tower cards started like building on top of each other, I would say. In like my early 20s, you know, I get into massage school and kind of like start in this, you know, like, oh, okay, like I've always been into this, but like now I'm really going to get into it. And then there was this sudden like, and where has it brought you? And I started not only seeing in my friends, but I started seeing in my mentors that it was complete bullshit. I mean, and I'll never forget, and I'm like going out on a limb here because I know this is like not, you know, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I went to the World Massage Festival and was assistant teaching. And so, like, you watch people get inducted into the Hall of Fame for it and like all this stuff. I'll never forget coming in for our second day of teaching, and it looked like a frat house, Mallory. It was like puddles everywhere, and people are doing like energy work classes the next day and shamanic trainings. And I'm like, hold the phone, y'all. Like, wait a minute. Because I would hear these same people preaching to people about, like, but you open your body to, you know, bad spirits and da, 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 when you drink alcohol and, da, 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 and preaching all this stuff. And it's like the whole curtain got pulled back. And I was like, these are the people that I've been running my life by. These are the people I've been listening
Yeah, no.
to. Like, wait a minute. Yeah.
That's really interesting, 'cause I think I've experienced the same thing in a way where you have that tower card moment, especially when you're younger, and you think, okay, I need to find a teacher, a mentor, a guru to help me, 'cause I have no idea what I'm doing and I feel like shit. But then, you find these teachers and mentors or whatever, and you start to see, kind of realize, oh man, this is kind of hypocritical. I don't know about this. And I think it's good that you said that, because I think a lot of people, on the other end who are going to be listening to this, there are a lot of people in their 20s on a spiritual journey, maybe seeking a teacher, seeking a mentor, because they're just so, there's almost a desperation when you're in that spiritual awakening. There's, right, it's a desperation of like, oh my God, I need someone. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so lost. But then that can lead you to other things that are other lessons about, yo, you are your own teacher. You don't actually need a teacher.
Exactly. And it's so, I think so much is learning. And this is, it's so simple, but so many times I've been like, oh my God, duh. Like, okay. But like, if you're going to allow anyone to have a huge impact on life decisions you make and where you're going, they energetically should feel like you would want them to be your best friend. And I don't mean in like, a codependent, like, I want to hang out with you all the time, da, da, da. But in this way of like, you feel completely at ease. You feel refreshed by them. They make you laugh, right? Because that's your way of acknowledging this is a good melon. I like this person.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
like we get impressed by someone's amount of knowledge or where they've traveled or who they work with. And we sidestep the fact that we start not being ourselves when we're around them. So then if we're the person, or if they're the person that we follow, they're going to take us away from ourselves. And I think that's how
Yes.
so many people get lost on that, just like you were saying, like desperation on the spiritual path is like, my God, you can choose, it's a dime a dozen. You can follow so many people and they might have rave reviews from someone else, but they're not for you.
Right.
Trusting yourself and you'll get help from the right people when it's time.
Yes, it's kind of that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Exactly.
Yes. And maybe we don't need to search so desperately for that teacher, because when we do, and I've been there too, where you see someone and you see that they're, in your eyes, so much more spiritually advanced than you are. And you feel like you need to shift yourself in order to, I don't know, impress them, or at least have them think that you know what you're talking about.
And you're so, and like, I love what you're saying because I was listening to you last week, I think it was, and I was standing in the kitchen, like, nodding my head because I'm like, yes, it's so refreshing to hear you just be like, this is how I feel, and I'm just going to spit it out. And it just is what it is, right? It's so important, I think, to know, and I'm like, saying this, like, I don't, whoever's listening, like, I love you, and just know, like, you really are that wise. And sometimes wisdom is about trusting yourself before you feel like it's safe to. And I think a lot of us that really are that knowledgeable as far as like wisdom that we are born with, people will see that in us. And we can also get tricked when people over flatter us. And I know that's how I got caught is that I would have people that, I mean, all these classes that I was assistant teaching, they were 20 years my senior, people that I was, teaching. So I was so bowled over with all these mentors flattering me and like telling me what they saw in me and da 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 da. And I slowly finally started to listen to that, like, this feels like someone feeding off of me.
Right.
Someone forming me into their mini me. Like, what's happening here?
Well, yes, and I love that you said that because I think if our inner child is still the wounded, too sensitive inner child, and we're still a little bit, we don't like that about ourselves
Right.
subconsciously. So then when someone older and wiser, quote unquote, comes up to us and says, "Oh my God, I can f your energy is just so amazing. You're so psychic. You're so intuitive." We're suddenly that like too sensitive insecurity kind of gets like triggered, and you're like, "Oh wow, like someone thinks this is good." Like,
You think I'm cool? Yeah.
right.
Yep.
So yeah, I love what you're saying because it's all about, being in check with, our own, I think, insecurities about who we are, and then how others can capitalize off of that if we allow them to.
Yep.
Yeah. And, it's not to say that there aren't great teachers out there. There aren't, people shouldn't seek a mentor. But like you said, like, I think that energetic thing needs to be between the student and the teacher. And I think part of that energy needs to be maybe the student feeling comfortable to just kind of say, you know what? I don't know a lot of stuff.
Right.
I don't know this.
Right. And I think such an easy way to see if someone needs you to be someone in particular is when you just know something in your gut and you say it and they are like, no, and immediately have to go correct you. That's such an easy way to start being like, so me, you praise me for my strength, but when I stand in it, and it doesn't really vibe with what you're saying, it's not okay.
Right. Yep.
So
Yep.
that's why it excites me so much to hear people at younger and younger ages going, you might not agree with this, but because once you start thinking like that, it makes it really easy to see like who's going to promote me as long as I match them, and then
Right.
rather me be quiet. If they don't, right? So it's really, I think, like every relationship, not even just our mentors, you can really learn everything from, because you'll kind of see like, okay, what have I been like attracting for so long? Like, what's kind of needing to grow in me? So yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that so much. So once we let's go back to like our tower card moment, and maybe like you can think of maybe there was a time where you felt like you conquered your tower card, and now it was sort of the sense that you were kind of ready to step into that healer mode. But that also brings up something I wanted to talk about with you. I just wanted to ask you, like, what do you call yourself? Do you consider yourself a healer, or do you not like that word? Or, what do you label yourself as? Because I think a lot of, people in their 20s specifically, I think there's a lot of words we throw around nowadays. Like you even said on your podcast, like everybody's a witch now and everybody is a tarot reader and or a psychic, or there's so many words we can use to describe ourselves. So why don't you talk about that a little bit more about, because I'm asking you because I kind of have an inkling that you don't. And I think that's great.
Coming out. Yes.
Right.
Right when you said, what do you call yourself? I wanted to be like, I'm Becca. And
Yeah.
think I'm realizing like I like because it depends on the day, as far as like what
Right.
I feel comfortable with. And I'm realizing like I think it's the same reason I don't like calling improving our lives and being happy the work is because I'm like, I don't want to put myself in a box, I guess. And that's where, to me, that's where we start competition, not only with other people, but with ourselves. And it's like, I like to say, like, I practice healing work. I use my intuition. I love storytelling, but even like of any label out there, even more than empath, I would probably be like, I'm a storyteller. But even in that sense, I'm like, but how many different ways can we tell a story? Our own lives,
Yeah.
right? So it's one of those things that I kind of hope to see it evolve in years to come, because at this point in time, it's like labels are so, I don't even know how many labels are out there now just for your like sexual orientation. Like,
Right.
I can't keep up. And part of it makes my heart ache because I'm like, but here's the thing. Like, let's get down to brass tacks. I would never introduce myself to someone and say, my name is Rebecca, and my favorite sex position with my husband this week is dot, dot, dot.
Right. Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like, part of it is like, it can be empowering at times, but how much do we disempower ourselves by saying, this is who I am? Because I know energetically what it feels like when I've gone to classes and people introduce themselves as, we'll say Tiffany, and I'm a massage therapist. And you can feel every massage therapist in the room be like, well, what kind do you practice? Well, how long have you been practicing? How did you go to school? I'm like, how do you know what I mean? So it's like, as long as there's those labels that we say, this is who I am, it will always invite our brain to start competition and start checkmarking. This is this. When in reality, if we just are who we are and we practice innumerable things, because we're capable of so many different, I think that's kind of where all the different past lives and stuff come in, is like so many different translations of ourselves are possible, like innumerable.
Yeah.
I like to say, like, take a label and add it to your box and then keep going. Because I don't ever want somebody to say, this is who I am. And then something rings with you and go, but that doesn't fit. But if I did, that doesn't fit. And it's
Yes.
so
Yep.
easy for our brains to do that, because I think it's kind of like a safety mechanism, right?
Oh, yeah, I
So,
think you're right.
yeah. It's just one of those, because I'm just watching so many people right now that are like, I'm a Christian, but I practice vision boards. And then people around them are like, oh, okay, but that's like witchy. In that mo right, just in that most basic thing, you can see, isn't it funny that just those two terms together make people nervous? So
Yep, you are so right.
it's really easy for us to have this like cognitive dissonance in ourselves of like, okay, but this is who I am. That's what I said I am, but now today this is how I feel. I think it's so good to stand strong in different practices and say who you are, and then you can be like, and then tomorrow I might be this. So we're just gonna go with
Oh,
it.
yeah. Yeah, and you know what? That's such a good point because even for people who are young and they're deciding on, whether I love that you brought up the labels about sexual orientation because I 100% agree with you on that. And also whether it's sexual orientation, whether it's yourself calling yourself a healer, a vegan, a psychic, a dog walker, I feel like when we have the tendency to come out, quote unquote, with whatever label we want to choose, but then we forget, wait a second, I'm like 24. Like, how would I even go about committing myself to for the rest of my life
Absolutely.
to this label? And how does that even make sense?
And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like part of your brain goes, wait, why do I even need someone else to hear what I am so that they accept it? I'm the only one that needs to accept it. Like,
Totally,
yeah.
totally. And
So
it's
that's like,
about,
yeah, go ahead.
no, and it's about, I think the human mind wants to categorize people into that category
Yep.
to, I think we want people to understand who we are, and that's why we choose the label.
Yeah.
But really, at the end of the day, even if I say, hey, I'm a psychic, I'm a witch, I'm a tarot reader, I'm a whatever,
Right.
Still, there's still going to be those people who aren't going to get it. Yeah.
Yep. And I think that's so much with each generation, like younger and younger, they just know what's up. You can't tell them anything else. And I think I had brought this up in one of my last episodes, but it's like they're seen as more and more rebellious when I'm like, no, they're just not doing what they're told. They're doing what they feel. And more, I think there's going to be this kind of like scatter and frantic of people realizing, like, I can call myself whatever I want, but people are going to know who I am anyway. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yes, you're so right. And I think, you know what? That's a good point. 'Cause I don't know, are you a millennial or are you a generation older?
I'm not sure. So that might have made me sound old right there. I'm 32 this year. I don't know when the cutoff is.
I don't know either. I think I was born in 95, so I think I'm literally the last year of millennials, but I think you might be like one of maybe a little bit of an older millennial, but at the same time, people love to shit on that generation because we don't, I think it's about not wanting to fit in that box just for the sake of a societal organization kind of vision. And and it then, you know, it boils down to, we see this in the spiritual community, although witches and feminists and healers, we love to talk about how much the patriarchy rules society and how much we need to demolish that sort of and reclaim the womanhood, and I love all that. But yet we still subscribe to the patriarchy's terms when we're so focused on a label and capitalizing off that label.
And it's so strange how we'll fight against our trauma by running completely in the opposite direction, and it kind of ends up swinging us back around to the thing we were fighting. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, what is, I can't remember how the saying goes, but it's like, be careful in the act of fighting monsters that you don't yourself become one. And it's kind of, I don't know, me and my husband talk about it all the time, but we're kind of like, so the feminine is about this like power and compassion and ease in power, this fluid, like, I don't know. I think that's why the feminine is so incredible, because it's mysterious in that, like, I think about like with the ocean. It's so mysterious, and they know less about the depths of the ocean than they do outer space. Is that not the feminine, right? And so many times I'm like, so that would mean encompassing all, not separating. Now it's women's time. It would mean saying, no, we're going to wash it all out and start new.
Yes. Actually, it's funny that you bring this up because and I know this is now veering off what we wanted to talk about, but that's okay.
Going to say, ring me back in when you're ready.
But I no, but I love it. That's what I was just talking about with my boss the other day. We were talking about how throughout the history of the world, the pendulum has swung back and forth from, like, let's say the patriarchy to the matriarchy, or however you want to put it, the feminine to the masculine, the yin to the yang, and it keeps going back and forth. And what we really need to do is find the equilibrium, right? And that's really what we need to do. But and maybe that's like kind of about coming, like reeling it back into that label of healer. For me, actually, the label as healer, maybe it is more about finding that equilibrium between the masculine and the feminine within myself, but also helping other people find that too. Yeah, but I love it, and I love how you just kind of gave a lot of my listeners and your listeners too sort of that permission to say, you know what, fuck it, I don't want to label myself right now with anything.
Isn't it, this is what I think is kind of great. It's like when you envision the wisest person coming from a place of compassion, and they don't, when I, like, in my mind's eye, see that image of that woman that I want to be, she's not speaking, she's smiling and she winks. And I'm like, so Like, to me, the most powerful thing is if someone's like, "How did you do that?" And you're like, "It's just who I am." Instead of having to say, "Because I'm a Reiki master, because I'm a psychic, because I think we're going to a place where all of us are tapping into those capabilities." So it's kind of one of those things, you know, what I mean, where it's kind of like we're all going to be able to find one another because of our hobbies and because of what we practice. But we're going to find out more and more, but that does not encompass the fullness of who I am as a person.
Oh, yes. I just got chills. I just got chills when you said that. Totally. And it's no coincidence. It's no coincidence that, astrology, Reiki, energy work, acupuncture, all of those things, they're on the rise because there's a general awakening energy going on. And I think more and more people are going to start to maybe identify with those things. And in that's beautiful because the more we can connect with each other on those things, I think the less we have to sort of puff out our chest and say, oh, I'm a level four Reiki master, or like
Exactly. But did you learn from such and such? And then everybody's like, I'm gonna act like I know that name. Like,
Exactly. I love in your this is I love in your book that part where that you were kind of doing energy work, or you were probably doing some form of, not to put a label on it, but
right.
some
Whatever
form of like,
it was.
yeah, unconscious Reiki, which is totally possible, right? Because we all have access to that Reiki energy or that God energy. You were
Exactly.
doing some energy work on a client, and someone asked you about, kind of getting your Reiki certification, and you were like, excuse me, like
Like I was driving without a license or something. Yeah.
exactly.
And
So
like I think the labels make people comfortable because there's rules to labels and they can judge you according to those rules, right?
yes.
Like how many people, like even with sexuality, sometimes that's why I'm like, I just want you to do whoever you want, whenever you want, however you want, and own that shit, and I will love it. Like, you know what you do? Because it's too much for our little brains to categorize who's good, who's bad, who's on task, who's not on task. It's none of our business. And I recognize that so many times with, you know, and that woman. I mean, she illustrated it so perfectly, like pulling her head out of the cradle and being like, "What are you doing now? What are you doing now?" And I'm like, "Lady, you're here to get treatment. Why are you asking me?" You know, and it's again, I think it's something that our brains do. We've kind of learned growing up in school and walking in a line to go to lunch. You know, you're kind of trained to judge how everybody's doing and if they're on task and da 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 da. And so I think so many of us that probably the millennial generation like come into this world naturally doing a form of energy work. And what I found too is a lot of us think we're broken because we aren't blown away when we feel other people doing it. And like when I finally got my certification, I felt nothing. And like I'd heard from other people like, "Oh, I felt like there was this tunnel of wind coming through my head and da da da." I felt nothing. And I think, you know, and you're kind of sitting there like, this is bullshit. Like, I'm just going to thank the lady and get my certification. And I just want to share too, for a lot of us, I think it's important to know you're not broken because that is a natural thing for you to be feeling. And it's just part of who you are. And so, again, like, don't worry too much about the logistics of it, the labels or anything like that. Like, you empowering yourself and seeing what you're capable of will take you leaps and bounds beyond a certification or what someone else says you should probably do next.
Yes, you're so right. You're so right. It's funny that you brought up the word broken because maybe that loops me back to like one of my original questions I wanted to ask you. But I think in when we're younger and maybe we're having these tower moments and we're kind of thinking, oh my God, I'm broken, but also at the same time, maybe we're feeling like we do have that gift of healing. And we're starting to recognize actually that we're not the only ones that are broken. There's also pretty much everybody around us is broken too. And we start to think, huh, I can heal these people. And it kind of becomes maybe a distraction from our own healing. What do you think in your life? Like, what are some of the, I don't want to say mistakes, but was there ever a time in your early days of being a practitioner, or an energy healer where you sort of used other healing other people as sort of a distraction? And that didn't even have to be your clients. It could have been people you were dating or your friends or yeah, tell us more about like that kind of situation.
Like, you can totally call him this. I call him too. All of it. And legitimately, it's only been within the last, I'll be nice to myself, like 2 years, I'll say, that I really realized, like, I had to start taking care of myself because of health problems. And two, like, I reached complete exhaustion with my family and friends that I took on as projects. I think for me, that's the only, I'm a little bit stubborn. So I kind of had to like crash and burn to realize, like, okay, how long have I been puffing my chest out? Because just like you said, like, we know that we're here with capability of healing. Like, we know that, but we don't pinpoint like myself. Like, we don't make that connection of how powerful it is, like the vibration that we put out into the world. That's where the power center needs to come from, not us running around putting eggs in everybody else's baskets. And so it's kind of when I really look at, like, when I first started doing massage and first started, because I really started assistant teaching like right after I got out of massage school. And really, I mean, some of it I was tapping into like what I needed to do for myself, but God's honest truth, most of it I was like, let me show you how to fix your life. Like, most of it I was doing it from a place of like, wow, look what I can do. Let me impress you. And it wasn't, and I want to share this too. Like, there should not be any shame in that, because that comes from a place of, I've not been seen or heard as much as I should have. And I'm begging for that. I need someone to tell me that I'm strong. I need someone to tell me that I'm capable. I need someone to tell me what they see in me. And I think so much that's what makes us compassionate, is having been through stuff like that. But if we don't keep going through it, we get stuck in that. So let me prove myself to everyone and heal everyone else.
And
Like,
then,
if we don't ever get past that, we stay there.
right. And it comes again, I think that still comes from that. I'll keep on your book title, that like too sensitive inner child who felt like perhaps they didn't have a place in the world or they were just taking up space. So then when we find our value and our sense of self-worth, when we throw it into our ability to make someone else feel good, or our ability, to give someone an amazing energy healing that makes them cry on the table, and we suddenly feel like, oh my God, like, wow, like this is what it's all about. And that's amazing. But then I think we too easily let that become our entire sense of identity and our entire sense of why we're here on earth. But it's really not. It's like what you said in your last podcast, like you finally found the moment where you were able to kind of unlock yourself from the jail cell. And but old Becca would have tried to get everybody else out of the jail too. But
Absolutely.
sort of a newer version of yourself is just going to hand that key to the inmate next door and be like, okay, see ya. I'm getting out.
And it is, because like that, I think that's where so many of us get stuck and exhausted, because we don't want to quote unquote fail. But at one point or another, we're going to come across somebody that does not want to leave that damn cell. No matter how hard we pull them, they're like, no, I like it here. This is where I want to be. They might complain every day, but they like it there. And I think that's when a lot of people start hitting that burnout and they start having probably that other tower card come out of like, okay, I feel like I'm a healer, but now I feel like I'm failing at it.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? But it's kind of good because it gives that birth to like, okay, now what am I really supposed to do with this?
Yeah, totally. Why do you think, so this is like maybe a kind of more personal, but I think also as young healers, let's say we may have the tendency to attract relationships or with either lovers or friendships where we become, it doesn't even become a friendship or a relationship. It becomes therapist and client.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Was there a moment, I guess, where you kind of like, how did you figure out how to rise above that? Or I don't want to say rise above that, but when did you become aware that you were doing that? Was there a certain
jump from the burning ship?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like sometimes.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Like it happened like sporadically. And then I had like one final huge cannonball, I think. And it really went all the way back to my family. And that was the thing is that once you start pulling that string from the sweater and then you're like, I don't want to see where this goes. Like, oh God.
Yeah.
But it's like, I started kind of tracing, okay, there's these patterns in all my friendships and romantic relationships, and they all have these common threads of, it's fine as long as I always admit fault. It's fine as long as I go along with what they're saying and don't acknowledge they're lying. You know, and it's like, I had to start connecting those dots, and it's painful, y'all. It fucking sucks. Because if that's what you've learned as bonding with another human being, you have to completely rewrite the script and be like, all right, wait a minute. And it took, honestly, like I tell my husband this like constantly, but like it took he and I's relationship to like really start to highlight, okay, well, if this feels like this, then why does all that feel like that? Like, wait, sometimes you need something to contrast. And so we usually have like some really good, wonderful friends and romantic relationships we've tried that are like peppered throughout the bad ones. And what's funny is I think our self-sabotage sometimes puts those on the back burner because they don't need fixing. So something in us is like, well, that's boring.
Right.
I don't have anything to fix in them. That's boring. When in fact, those relationships are the ones that help us heal. So it's this weird self-sabotage of like, oh, they're fine. I'll just never call them back. Let me give all my time to these people who are having me run around the track on the daily that never actually want to help themselves, but I'm going to step in and try and do that.
Right.
You feel a draw to them. And that's why I'm so big about like learning to understand your own inner language, because you can feel a real strong pull to people, but it's not in a good way.
Yeah, that's okay. Yes. And that's where I've, you know, certain things in my life or certain things that, you know, I've some client, you know, when you work with a lot of people and with yourself too, you realize that there's sort of this thing inside of us where we think, oh my God, I have such a deep, quote unquote, deep connection with this person. And we use that, it's almost that realization that just because I feel a deep connection to this person doesn't mean that we're meant to, you know, be together. Or,
right.
You know, that doesn't mean that we're meant to mix and mingle, because that deep connection could be very much, I don't know, so again, that inner child too sensitive playing out somehow, or
because it's kind of, I think about it like when you've been going through like a depression or anything like that, what do we want to do? We really just want to go home and get under a comforter and eat potato chips. Like, that's really all you want to do. So I had to start realizing what friendships and romantic relationships feel like crawling under the comforter and eating potato chips. So good, because that's all you long for during the day when you're in that state, right? But it's like, it's kind of learning to define, and it's tricky because now so many people I'm seeing, like with self-care, it's like some of it's self-care, some of it's self-sabotage. So I know that I hung out with a lot of people, and I had to admit, like, all right, I'm being a bitch, because I hung out with people that I saw as quote unquote not really trying at life. They're a little bit below me in the sense that, like, they're really like barely making it. They just want to party all the time. They barely make it to work. So that made me comfortable because I don't have to try when I'm around those people. And then I get to feel like the better person. Okay, this is great. You know? You know what I mean? And so, like, yeah, that kind of sucks to look at and be like, hey, Beck, don't be a bitch. But like, that's kind of what we have to do sometimes.
Yeah, that makes.
Because we're also the toxic person to that person, because we're always pointing out their flaws. So,
Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
it's the projection always goes both ways.
Oh, yes, ma'am. You always start being like, oh my God, why did I do that? And then you look at yourself and you're like, why do I do that? So true.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments in your book was when you sort of when like we're on this topic of like attracting people in our lives that we have to heal, and when you realize that Joe, your husband, was a person that you weren't going to have to heal, how you sort of backed out for just a little bit and you got scared because you were like, oh fuck, like this is, what did you say? I have the quote here. Oh yeah, you say, this man who I was supposed to fix, who I was supposed to teach about spirituality and enlightenment, saw into my life in ways that I was afraid to even see myself. So it's funny how it took kind of that, I don't want to call it a phenomenon, but maybe that phenomenon, kind of to scare you shitless and be like, oh man, like if I do it with this person, I'm not really going to have to be their therapist.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have to be seen. I'm not going to be the one watching someone else. I'm scared.
Yeah, I love that. I love that moment. So okay, on I'm trying to see where we want to go, because also on that note, you also had a moment when you were kind of deciding if you were gonna, you know, be with your husband or not. In that moment, you were asking spirit, like, is this person gonna take me off my path? And I think that question is something that we think a lot about in our 20s, especially in romantic relationships. And in your experience, what are like the signs that someone is or is not going to take you off your path? And is there even such a thing as going off your path?
I really like the way you asked that. Kind of like, and is it even too big to worry about? I really think it really is more watching who you are the longer you're around them. Do you love the person that you're becoming, or maybe not so much? Because we can have, like, if someone would have asked me 15 years ago, what is your husband going to look like? What is the perfect husband? I obviously, like, I love him to death. I'm slightly obsessed, but I never would have picked that. I never would have said a guy with a bull ring through his nose, covered in tattoos and a mohawk. Ever. I never would have said that. I never would have said this is the man that I will awaken my power and my spirituality with. And so I think I said in the book too, like, when after I asked that question, is he going to take me off my path? This huge picture frame, like this gold picture frame that I had over my mantle in the living room, fell and knocked over a vase of roses that he had gotten me. And so I heard this loud crash, and I go in there and I see all the petals on the floor. And of course, I was like, shit, well, somebody answered that question. But one of the most important sayings is, because we're all just trying to figure our shit out in our 20s. We're trying to figure it out till the day we die. But our 20s, I think, is when like the volume's turned up pretty high. So what I've had to realize is, so many of us that are so sensitive, we're not only hearing input from maybe not so great friends that we have, we're hearing input from not so great spirit friends that we have.
Yeah.
So if we're going to become strong in ourselves, not need to lean on anybody or listen to their lies anymore, because someone is empowering us and showing us how to love ourselves, people that feed off of us are not a fan of that. They don't want that whatsoever. As just the same way that you might have a friend meet someone that you're gaga over and you're like, this is magic. I'm not sure what it is. And they're like, are you sure though? Cause like you're a feminist and you should da 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 da. That is the same thing as when you might feel a yucky energy around you. Be like, no, run. He's going to take you off your path. And I like how you said, do we even have a path? Because there's so many different choices, options for us to make, right? And I will, to the death, I will fight. It's not the classes. It's not the courses. It's not the destinations. It's not going to Bali and sitting on a yoga mat. I'm not saying that's not spectacular, but it is our relationships that teach us where we need to grow, who we are, and where we're going. Like, period. Because they're the mirrors.
Yes, yes.
And so that's where we'll like think it's going to take us off our path a lot of times, but it's something in us going, no, 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 I'd rather go to Bali.
Right, right. I would rather go to a retreat, a meditation retreat, where I don't talk to anybody for 10 days.
Because anyone can sit in silence and find peace. But if you have to go to Walmart or a family reunion, try me. Like, right? That's where you get tested.
So do you believe, there's this whole thing that I'm kind of stuck on. It's just this old saying that you have to fully love yourself in order to attract a partner in your highest good. On that note, do you believe that? Or do you believe that more the partner in your highest good will show you a little bit about loving yourself and, you know, aid you in your personal development?
Right. Yeah, I have to agree a little bit more with the latter, because when we're not in a good place about ourselves, doesn't that quote kind of make you want to vomit?
Yes. Oh my, it makes
it, it
kind of makes me feel like hopeless. Like I'm like, oh, well, if that's the case, I'm not going to get, you know.
Exactly. Like, well, I'm just going to buy a bag of donuts and say, fuck it, because I'm not going to happen. And I think when we, it's just kind of like if you realize that you're out of ideas and you throw your hands up and you're like, could you send me something? And then all of a sudden, it's like you feel your guardians go, we were just waiting for you to ask. Like, ask for help. I think it's the same with loving ourselves sometimes. When we're not ready to, we can have tons of friends, tons of spirit communication. None of it actually makes us feel good about ourselves. It can give us quote unquote power in numbers, but it doesn't like enthrall us in this like, oh my God, I'm just joyous and doing nothing. Right. But it's like, I think if we just have that one brave step of like, I think I'm ready for somebody to see me.
Right.
I think that's when people step in and then you can learn together. Like, cause it's, and I will straight up tell you just, and I'm so glad that I have a relationship so I can firsthand be like, I'm telling you this because I have experienced this, not because I read, you know, in self-help books, but like as many things that seem perfect in me and Joe's relationship, I'll always tell people like, we have gone through hell. Like, it's because we never gave up on each other. Like, and it's so much of like, letting someone show you what it feels like to receive love so you can kind of continue to repeat that in yourself. Like you'll grow it a little bit and then they meet you, and then you'll grow it a little bit and then they meet you. It really is kind of this back and forth. So whether it's a romantic relationship or friendship, because even just in friendships, I think when we allow ourselves to disagree and give them the opportunity to talk it out with us, and say, I'm not going anywhere just because we disagree, that teaches us to love ourselves a little bit more because we didn't, you know what I mean? We didn't bite our tongue. We didn't swallow our anger and poison ourselves again just because we're afraid they might go away.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. And I'm with you. I never loved that quote either, 'cause like we said, it's just like that quote about, oh, you have to love yourself before someone else can love you. It's discouraging, and also I think it puts us at a place where we feel like if we're not perfect and we don't have this amazing sense of confidence and our lives aren't going great, we can't ask to be seen. And
Right.
I think anybody at any point in their self-development can ask to be seen in a genuine way from someone else. And in a way, that takes more courage than showing up on the dating scene and being like, oh yeah, baby, like
Absolutely.
I've got it going on. Like
Oh my God, you should praise this.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I like that. Okay. So we covered it all basically. We covered, healers, mentors, relationships. The one thing we didn't talk about that I want to ask you a little bit more is parents.
Yeah.
And parents in our, I think there's a point in every person's life, unless they are subscribing to the life that their parents laid out for them. But I
Right.
think most of us don't do that, and most of us feel like we need to veer off some kind of plan that our parents gave us. For you, do you remember like a moment in your 20s where you sort of had to choose between like your own personal development and your parents' approval?
You know, I'm like, there usually, because obviously you can tell I talk in circles, but like, this is the one time that I'm like, there's a like conversation that I absolutely remember having to make that choice. Of being like, I don't think you're going to be okay with this ever, but I'm going to have to do it anyway. And like, so I was sitting in my dad's office, and like, we used to just sit and have like hours and hours of conversation. And I think I had come back from Kauai, where I had done training, and then I was about to move to Wilmington, I think is the time frame. And being raised in the Mormon church, because the men are all blessed to hold the priesthood, they carry this blessed oil on their keychains. So it's so funny because when you think about it, you're like, that really sounds like chakra work. But they will put blessed oil on your crown to give you a blessing from the priesthood, right?
Right.
So he and I were sitting discussing healing work that I had done, you know, while I was in Kauai and stuff. And girl, I just started sobbing because, again, that little child that was just never seen started being like, I need you to tell me I'm not a bad person. Like, I need you to tell me this is okay. And I remember saying to him, I just don't understand how I can't be doing the right thing if I'm like sobbing happy tears while I'm doing this work on someone. And he looked at me and he shrugged his shoulders, and he is not one to say this, but he was just kind of like, I really don't know. And it was just this moment of like realizing, okay, maybe he doesn't even really approve of himself that much. So how can he give me approval if he doesn't even approve of himself? Like, because he's following teachings as hard as he can, because even as a child, I would hear his voice change talking to the other men in the church, and it was this like chest puffed out, you know, hey, Brother Smith, you know, it was very, yes, I made it to the testimony meeting, you know. And so it's like, for that second, I saw this person that was like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing either. I'm still looking for approval. So, and set me free to go, well, I guess I'll do this then. Like, okay. And I think it's important. And I think that's where a lot of that happens in your 20s and your early 30s is because we start to see that all the adults, whether they were our parents or not, that we looked to for guidance and approval and for a thumbs up maybe they weren't really sure what the hell they were doing either. And a lot of people, whether they're our age or older, the ones that play it off the hardest that they're doing it correctly are often the ones that don't want us to see that they're like, I'm sucking moss.
That's so true. I love that. And I think, going back to our conversation or about, the kind of millennial or younger generation versus the older generation, I think we have an idea of how we want to live our lives, and it's so vastly different than the older generation, how they wanted to live their lives. So to even like, in a way, it doesn't make sense for us to want to seek that approval, because why would, I don't know, it's almost like an artist trying to get approval from a dentist on their painting. And you're
What
like,
a great way to
and you're like, well, what does dentists know about art history? But I'm still like, I'm still begging them, like, oh my God, like, please just say you like it. Like, just say you like this painting.
it needs a crown. I don't know what
Yeah.
to
Right, there's a cavity in the left corner.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's interesting to hear you say that, because really no one really knows what they're doing, A. And I think B, there is just such a, I think there's such a deeply embedded something in our psyche that just wants the parents' approval so badly, because we want to be seen by them. But then when they can't give us that and we do it anyways, that's, I think, the moment where things might shift, right?
All of a sudden, something in you goes, am I an adult now? Am I making my own decisions? Like, this is it.
No, it's really true. I love that.
Oh, too fun. I love it. I love the artist and the dentist. That's such a good, because that's such a good way to remind us, like, and it's not personal.
It's
It's just, yeah.
not. No, it's not. But yeah, no, I really like that. I like everything we talked about, Rebecca. I
Me
really do. I'm
too,
gonna have to replay this like whole thing. I feel like we could talk for like 2 more hours, but let's.
Mel. This was so fun. Me too. I'm like, seriously, I'm like, I hope I made sense, because I was
No,
just
you
so
did.
excited. Great topic.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, before you go, why don't you give us maybe you since you know a little bit about tarot, why don't you give us your favorite tarot card, or maybe even not your favorite tarot card? What card do you think you're living through right now? And yeah, like, how are you connecting to a certain card right now?
It's so funny, because like the one that's seriously come up throughout my life is the Hermit. And I always joke, because like I'm just a really happy homebody, so I call myself a hermit a lot of times. But like, and when I really looked into the definition of it, I was like, oh no, that actually makes a lot of sense.
See,
Like that would make sense.
that's how I know we're soul sisters, because the my favorite card in the entire deck is the Hermit.
Oh, I love it. I let you win today's prize. That's correct.
Oh my God. Yeah, that I
I
love
love
that. I love it. Okay, well, Rebecca, thank you so much for your time. I love it so much. I'll probably send you an email after this, but yeah, no, I can't wait to publish this episode, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. So
Mel, this was such a treat. I enjoyed this so much.
okay, well, you have a wonderful day, and we'll talk soon.
You too.
Okay,
Bye.
bye, Rebecca.